Good evening. I'm going to start by moving that out of the way. It just seems weird to have a mic stand with no mic in it in front of me. So hopefully over the time that we've been with you this week, you've heard quite a lot of the amazing things that we experienced in Thailand. But tonight I want to talk about some of the challenges that we faced while out there. Because while mission work is amazing in the most part, it is at times really quite hard. Some of the projects are frustrating. Some of the people you work with sometimes are quite irritating. And sometimes the lack of fruit in your projects can be disheartening. And actually, these are no doubt things that we experience in our lives in the UK. Yet for some reason, maybe we sometimes think, and certainly I thought, that you know, you jump on a plane, you go half the way around the world, and you declare that you're going to go do some mission work, that all of those frustrations will go away. They don't, in reality. I want to talk about a bit of those this evening. And I think the best place for me to start is by telling you why I applied for BMS Action Teams in the first place. And I had two reasons, really, for applying. One of them is the reason I told my church, I told my family, and when we went on the interview weekend to BMS, there's the one I told BMS. But there is another reason. But the first reason was the kind of religious, kind of Christian reason of whenever I had spent lots of time with God in the past, amazing things had happened when I'd gone to places like Soul Survivor, which is a Christian camp that I went to a lot. Amazing things that I'd seen just God move in amazing ways. And so I wanted to spend a year out with God and simply see what would happen. So that was the first reason. And while all of that is true, I also had the second reason, which probably was a better statement of where I was at, which is I was just a bit bored of being in England. I was bored of, you know, school, college. I was a bit bored of church, just England in general. And so, you know, I thought, going on mission, that sounds exciting. I was just a bit bored of, you know, going through life doing the same thing every day with kind of a lack of purpose. And I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with sometimes, a lack of purpose, both within the church and outside of the church. And people deal with that in different ways. Some people, you know, turn to their work and they try and work really hard to gain purpose. If you've known me for any time at all, you'll realize quickly that me turning to hard work for purpose was never very likely. Other people turn to money, amass as much money as they can, gain some wealth. Maybe they'll get purpose that way. Other people turn to relationships. And then some people turn to, you know, things like alcohol. But, you know, not me, being the nice Christian boy that I was. I thought, you know what, I will turn to mission for purpose. And, you know, growing up as a Christian, I thought if I was going to find purpose anywhere, it would be something like mission. You know, as you grow up in church, you're constantly told that God has a plan for your life. And, you know, one of the commonly quoted Bible verses is Jeremiah 29, verse 11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So I applied to BMS Action Teams, and obviously as I'm stood here, I got accepted. And so before I knew it, I was at training in Birmingham for overseas, and then I was flying out from Heathrow to Thailand. And for the first few weeks in Thailand, it was amazing. And just being in another country, the whole experience, it was incredible. But, you know, after that initial excitement of being in that far-off country, I found that actually I was in quite a familiar position of being bored by some things and a bit frustrated. And some of that is just due to my character. I'm not a very patient person. That's something I need to work on. I get frustrated very easily if I'm doing something I don't think is worthwhile. But also, some of it was down to one of the projects we were working at, which I just found, the Hope Home project where we were, it's a brilliant project. They do amazing work. But I personally found that I didn't think I was contributing that much there. But the project there, they do amazing stuff. So I was in Thailand, and I've got all these frustrations, and I'm a bit bored, and the same things. But to be honest, it was probably no worse than it would be if I was back in England. But the thing is, when you go overseas, when you go to a country miles away from home, you lose all your home comforts. You lose all your usual ways of dealing with frustration and boredom. Usually in England, if I'm bored or I'm frustrated, I put FIFA into my Xbox. I thrash Manchester City or Liverpool or Arsenal a few times. And then I'm okay. Then I'm very happy and life is good again. But unfortunately, I didn't have my beloved Xbox in Thailand. So I had to find an actual way of dealing with my frustrations other than, you know, thrashing other football teams. And I did a couple of things. One of them, obviously, I started reading my Bible a bit more. That's a good thing to turn to. And I also started reading a lot of Christian books. I say a lot. This is a lot by my standard. I read 5, I think, in the final 3 months of Thailand. A lot of you are probably thinking I'm pathetic, only reading 5 books in 3 months. But this is coming from a person who read, I think, 4 books in the previous 4 years. So for me, that was impressive. And one such book I read was The Purpose-Driven Life, which you might have heard of by Rick Warren, which is a 40-day devotional which explores, unsurprisingly, the purpose of life. And when I say I read this, I read the first 13 days' worth of devotional stuff over a period of about a month, and then I gave up, because that's how I do my reading. But although I didn't actually finish the book, it did teach me a few important things. And Rick, in the book, the writer of it, talks about how God created us, so only he can give us true purpose, not through acts, through simply knowing and glorifying him. So while the details of God's plans for each of our lives may be very different, they all essentially come down to the same thing, that we were made to glorify and serve God. Soon after arriving in Thailand, we went as a team to a Baptist missionary retreat. So it was this conference thing where all the other missionaries went to relax, and also they had talks and things. It was quite nice. After 2 weeks of being in Thailand, we already got like a miniature holiday, which was very nice. But during the retreat, they had these short testimony things from a lot of the missionaries out there, and one of the things that an older couple said really struck me, and it's this quote here: God does not call us to be successful, but to be faithful. God does not call us to be successful, but to be faithful. And that really struck me, but actually not in a great way of, oh, wow, I love that quote. It was more in a way of, you know what, faithful is all good, but, you know, I really do want to be successful as well. You know, I want to see great things. I want to change lives. As a relatively passionate, fired-up young person, I saw it as kind of a defeatist statement. So, you know, get-out-of-jail-free card. So when you've spent all your years trying to convert these people to Christianity and you get absolutely nothing, you can always say at the end of it, oh, at least I was faithful. But, you know, after 6 months in Thailand, my view on that has completely changed, you'll be glad to know. And that's not because I've been completely worn down by frustrations over 6 months to the point where I'm just like, at least I tried. But it's from a radical change in the way I view my service to God, faithfulness, and success. What I have come to realize is that success for us in our Christian lives is being faithful to God, not in what acts we can perform for him, because it's through faithfulness that those acts come to fruition. God sees success in a completely different way to how the world sees it. And even if we are doing something in God's name, like mission work, and yet we judge our success by the world's standards, we'll never find true fulfillment from it, even if on the surface we seem to be successful. We must first find fulfillment in God alone. He created us, and therefore only he can give us true purpose. God does not call us to be successful, but be faithful. But success will come when we are faithful to him. It just might not come in the way we expect it to come. Sometimes we never actually get to see the success we have. It comes years later when we've left the country or we've moved on to another place. We simply have to trust God that actually he will use our actions to further his kingdom. In Philippians 3, Paul writes, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yet to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. In this passage, Paul tells us by worldly standards, he has had incredible success. He has kept to the law perfectly and to serve God and is faultless in that way. Yet, he doesn't seem to have found any fulfillment from it. Yet, what he does find his fulfillment from is in knowing Jesus as Lord. And through that, of course, Paul became one of the most influential figures in Christian history. Yet, even he, who converted so many people on his various mission trips, he couldn't see the full work that God used him for. He has probably converted way more people since his death through the letters that he wrote than he ever did in his lifetime. So even Paul, this great figure of Christianity, couldn't see everything that God did through him, but he trusted Jesus to use him. Only God knows the full extent of his plans. We may get to play a small part in them, be a link in the chain as such, and we should be thankful that actually God honors us in this way. Sometimes we're lucky enough to be the ones at the end of the chain to actually see real change in someone's life or in a situation, but almost all the time, there are plenty of people who have come before us, and they have played an equally important part. In Corinthians 1, chapter 3, Paul puts it like this: I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who watered is anything, but only God who makes things grow. For us to be used powerfully by God, we must first realize that our purpose, first and foremost in life, is to glorify him who created us. Fruitful mission comes as an outpouring from that. Going back to the quote briefly, God does not call us to be successful, but to be faithful. Some of you may know that's not a quote that the missionaries made up. It's actually a quote from Mother Teresa, which makes me now seem a bit stupid for dismissing it in the first place. And you can see in her life that actually she was just a woman who was incredibly faithful to God, and through that impacted many people directly through her work, but also inspired many other people. One of the biggest selling points of the Action Team gap year for me when applying was the idea of being pushed out of my comfort zone. That's quite a common theme throughout gap years, both Christian and secular, the idea of being pushed into a situation way out of your comfort zone where you're completely uncomfortable and then suddenly realizing that you can cope with it and that you can further your abilities. Or in the Christian sense, being pushed into a scenario where you can't cope and it's completely beyond your abilities and having to rely on God to do that. When you're in a situation where you're completely comfortable in your familiar surroundings, often we rely on our own strength, not God's, because we can do it ourselves. Yet when you're pushed into these scenarios when you have nothing else and you have to rely on God, you have to rely on him. And in a bizarre way, that was something I was really looking forward to in Thailand, was being pushed out of my comfort zone. Because I'm the type of person who doesn't like to trust anything to anyone, God or any other people, to be perfectly honest. I like to try and do things myself, but I was kind of hoping to be put in a scenario where I didn't have a choice and I had to trust God. And looking back now, I was certainly put in that position, but it was not in the ways that I would expect to have been put in that position. I often beforehand assumed that it would be in the grand moments where I really had to rely on God. But actually, what I found was it was in the mundane, everyday stuff that I needed him the most. You know, sometimes when there was a task that I didn't really fancy in the morning, something that I couldn't really see the point in me doing, it was in those times where I really had to rely on God to simply get out of bed to go do those tasks. It was in the boring sometimes and the mundane stuff that I really found God the most. And why? Because I was no longer trying to derive purpose from those activities directly, but from God. Doing everything in life to glorify God is an idea that actually before I've never really liked. I've always thought of it as I should be glorifying God even when I'm doing my homework, and therefore I should be putting a lot of effort into my homework, something that I've never been too keen on. But what I've actually found is that by doing all things for God's glory, it gives purpose and meaning to even the dullest and boring tasks. In Corinthians 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." So this evening, I just want to end by encouraging you to live for God in every part of your life. So often we find ourselves in situations where we cannot see the point in what we're doing, yet God can use literally any situation if we choose to serve him. So can I invite Jen to come up? I think you're going to lead another time of prayer.